seated. I understand that some of you after church this morning were discussing the points of my sermon. And this is a case where you got to figure, is the glass half full or the glass half empty? Because I understand that at least a couple of you were saying, what was Pastor's second point? You mean you didn't get my second point? And then I think about it and I think, well, I'm glad they were talking about it. I'm glad they wanted to know what the second point is. So the glass is half full, not half empty. And besides that, I don't want to be discouraged about this thing because the sermon is on discouragement. So I'm going to give you my points again, and then we're going to move on, all right? Remember, discouragement. Discouragement is real, correct? We live in this world, and there are various reasons for discouragement. I'm not going to go through them all tonight, but it is real. Number two, it is, for those of you who didn't get it this morning, it is progressive. You allow just a little bit of discouragement and you don't handle it and think about it properly, it will grow and it will immobilize you. It will hurt you so you have to nip it in the bud. You have to really work on saying, where am I going if I continue to harbor that thought? Where am I going? So it's progressive. And the best way to handle discouragement is when you're being tempted to allow discouragement to ruin your testimony and your joy. So it's real, it's progressive. Number three, it is contagious. We talked about that this morning. It's contagious. Some people are carriers of discouragement. They just are, and we need to be careful. This evening, I want to move on, and let's look at a couple of other scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're just going to look at a couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is the Apostle Paul, and he is discussing his ministry. Now, did he ever have anything to be discouraged about? He sure did, all kinds of things. But he understood that his ministry was given to him by the Lord. Look at verse 1. We have received mercy, and so we don't do what? We don't let discouragement ruin us. We faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He's living in the realm of recognizing that God is there, and if our gospel be hid, it hids those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, who is the image of God. For we preach not ourselves, it's not about us, it's about Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves for your servant's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Do you know why the Apostle Paul wrote this book? It is largely a book that is defending his own ministry. And it's not about him, it's about the Lord and his ministry. And some folks had tried to usurp his apostolic authority. And so he says to them in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. And then he goes on to say, look what he says here, we are troubled on every side, but we're not crushed. We're not distressed. We're not crushed. We're hard pressed, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed. Sometimes we despair, but not in total despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. What's he saying there? He is the Apostle Paul. You know, a lot of people think that the Apostle Paul had a t-shirt that said life is good. That's not true. It was a toga that said life is not good. But he really didn't say that. You know what it said on his toga? It said, the way is tough, but it's good. The way is tough, but it's good. And so we're troubled. Yeah, we got troubles. We've got stuff that's happening. We've got pressures, all kinds of things. And yet, it's going to be okay. We bear in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You know, we're living for him, and even though it's difficult, we're not going to let it press us down. Now, what is the point that I'm making here? We've said that discouragement is real, it's progressive, it's contagious, and now we're saying it's beatable. I just get discouraged all the time. No, you don't have to be. I get discouraged a lot. I have to fight it. I have to think clearly about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Because if I don't, I will harbor that thought long enough and it will grow and it will immobilize me. It will hurt me. It will sap from me the strength that I need to do what God wants me to do. So the Apostle Paul says that the way is a challenge. The way is a battle. The way is difficult, but it is good. It is good. I'd rather have challenges and battles and difficulties and distresses and disappointments in the Lord's will, doing what God wants, than to have all of those things out of God's will, not doing what God wants. So you have a choice. You have a choice. You can either let discouragement beat you, or you can beat it. David had the same idea. David had the same idea. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let's just take a look at it for just a moment. What a situation he's in. 1 Samuel chapter 30. This is battles and things that are going on, and David is out to battle. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And he's got his men, and they go out, and it's kind of the A team, only it's the D team. It's David's team. And it came to pass, 1 Samuel 30, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They didn't kill any of them, either great or small, but they carried them away, and so they went on their way. So David and his men come back to the city. It's burned with fire, and all their wives and their sons and their daughters are taken away. What is David going to do? Whew. He's not going to sing zippity-doo-da, zippity-yay. No, he's not. He's got a problem. He's got a big problem. Verse 4, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Just think about this. Think about if you were, on a business trip and you come back and your whole family's gone and you know they've been taken by an enemy. Think about this. And this was a whole bunch of guys and a whole bunch of families. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people spoke of stoning him. He gets blamed. He gets, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And what did David do? He had a pity party. No, he didn't. What does the verse say? Last part of verse 6. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then as we read on through this, he did something about it. He changed his mind first, and we talked about that. What's going to, this is the end. No, wait a minute. There's something you can do about the situation. You ought to do it. And that's why we have portions of Scripture. We won't go through the rest of this in 1 Samuel. But that's why we have portions of Scripture like Psalm 42. Let's turn there real quick. Because here you have David's What does David do? What does David do? We've talked about this before. We've talked about it before. Psalm 42, verse 5. What does he do? David talks to himself. He doesn't listen to himself. He talks to himself. When you're tempted to be discouraged, you are the one who is going to be listening to yourself and allowing discouragement to take over. But when you're tempted to allow discouragement to take over, if you talk to yourself biblically, what does David say? Verse 5 of Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. So he's talking to himself and he's talking to God at the same time. That's okay. You can do that. He encouraged, according to 1 Samuel 30, he encouraged himself in God. And then in verse 11 of this same chapter, he does it again. Why art thou cast down, on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. I can't let my circumstance press me into inactivity. I must obey God even when I don't feel like it. Rather than checking out his feelings to see how he should think, he changed his thoughts and began to act. He girded up the loins of his mind. So many times we check our feelings, we don't do it actually deliberately. We just say, oh, this is how I feel, and so this is how I'm going to live. We allow our feelings to dictate to us. Reminds me of Corrie ten Boom. She writes about somebody who was really down in the mouth and discouraged, and they went up to him and said, how are you doing? And they answered, well, okay under the circumstances. And she responded, well, what are you doing under there? What are you doing under the circumstances? What are you doing there? The Apostle Paul had circumstances, but he didn't allow them to be on top of him. He pushed. David did the very same thing. So discouragement is beatable by talking to yourself biblically. And by the way, I'm not talking about this nonsense about speaking things into existence. I'm not talking about that. You know, some people, and they're dear brothers in Christ, but they think they have the power of speaking things into existence. No, you don't. Use the Bible. This is God's word, for crying into beans. Don't be fooling with that stuff. I know that's country. But this is our authority, not this. This is our authority. We need to recognize that. Our eyes are on God. He is our hiding place. He is the one who gives us strength for all of this. So discouragement is beatable. And one more thing about discouragement. This is number 5. Do I need to repeat 1 through 4 again for some of you people? Discouragement is real. I have to look at my notes. It's progressive. It's contagious. It's beatable. And this last one. Discouragement is a way that God can use to make you more like Christ. It's a way that God can use in your life to make you more like Christ. Why is that? You know the verses. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, discouragement provides us an opportunity to find God's strength in our weakness. How else are we going to experience God's strength? I don't need God's strength. I'm doing fine. I just do. All right. Well, then you're not going to. But then God brings circumstances into your life physical pressures, mental pressures, emotional, all kinds of things that you know, all these things. What are they? They're not there because God goofed. They are there because God either ordained or allowed them to be there, and he wants to use them so that you can be made more like Christ. And how are you made more like Christ? When you live by faith, you're being made more like him, because what is faith? Faith is reliance on him. When you are discouraged, you have an opportunity to act by faith rather than by feeling. You have an opportunity to live by faith instead of by feeling. How many of us live by feeling? If it's good and it's great, praise God, God is good. If it's not good, I guess God is good, but this is a bummer for me today. And it may be. And when you're in that condition, you have a decision to make. What am I going to do? Where is that thought going to take me if I let it run? Where's it going to take me? So am I going to live by my feelings, or am I going to live by faith? Now, I'm not saying that the Christian life doesn't have feeling and joy and all that stuff. It should, and I hope it does in your life. If it isn't, you need to figure out what's wrong with you, because God does give joy and he does give blessing, and it is good to walk with him, and just like Paul said on his toga there, you know, life is hard, but it's good. It's good to serve God, okay? So, but how many of you this week wanted to do everything that you did was right? Maybe I'll say that another way. I can see you squinting. Erase that one. Don't do it. This week, you did some things that were right to do that you really didn't feel like doing, right? But you did them anyway. Why? Because you're living by faith, not by feeling. I said it better that time, didn't I? All right. I want to close with this verse from Isaiah 42. You don't need to turn to it. God knows our frame, you know, from Psalm 103. He remembers that we're dust. He knows that we hurt. He knows that we need support. All of these things. He doesn't smash us when we're down. And if you're discouraged, don't say, oh, I'm discouraged and God's against me. No, he's not. He's for you. Listen to this verse. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. A smoking flax shall he not quench. You know, when you've got a candle and the candle goes out, there's smoke and there's a little bit of ember there that you can see, but there's no heat and there's no light. God doesn't reach over when you feel like that and your candle's going. He doesn't go over there and go, psst. He doesn't do that. He fans the flame. He is for you in times of discouragement and sorrow and difficulty and challenge. He is for you. No flame, no light, no heat, just smoke. All right, Lord, here I am. And what does he do? He doesn't snuff us out. He says, all right, let me teach you to be more like Christ. You just do what you're supposed to do. You talk to yourself and you talk to me biblically, like David. You encourage yourself in God. You get up and you do what you're supposed to do, and I'll pull you out of this thing. Too many people don't do that. Instead, they do something else. They take dope. They drink beer or alcohol, whatever. They drown their sorrows. They are living by their feelings, and we need to live by faith. By faith. So just in case you didn't get it, discouragement is real. It's progressive. It's contagious. It's beatable. And it's one of the ways that God uses to make you more like Christ. Let's take our praises book.